You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Intern.cast show, the show where we review all things streaming, sponsored only by OneOfUs.net. That's right, we review things that have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. That's right, we only have Peach Fuzz. All the other reviewers out there are rocking the full neck beard. We are not quite hipster yet, but we will get there, we promise. I am TJ. I'm joined today by...
Leslie,
and...
And Davey. And wouldn't we be the hipsters since we're not doing the, like, official, like, big movie? So wouldn't we be the neckbeards?
I don't know. I feel like the hipsters have taken over, so we're still just trying to... We're like the...
I feel like we're the light bulbs that go on the beard. You know, you saw the little trend during Christmas time where, like, the people with the beards had the little light bulbs. Or not light bulbs, Christmas bulbs on their beard.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah!
What?
So apparently there was a trend out there where hipsters with beards would put Christmas bulbs inside their beard and walk around like that.
Well, I'm so glad that I did not have to view that because I might have choked a bitch.
Yeah, that sounds like the worst thing that anyone could have ever thought of.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so how are you, Davey? What have you seen? What have you been up to?
Oh,
you just had a birthday, sir. Happy fucking birthday to
Woo!
You.
Thank you.
How was
Thank
the strip you. Club?
I did not go to the strip club. My own sexuality makes me uncomfortable, so other people's sexuality is, like, way out there.
But you gotta go, man. That's the thing. Like, you gotta support the girls going through medical school. Otherwise, you're just an asshole.
I'll take that risk. I have to do a lot of things. I also have to, like, exercise and drink more water, but I'm not doing that either. So I think I'll be okay not watching people half naked and with dead eyes tell me, like, oh, it's all about you. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's okay. It's okay.
Well, what are we going to do? It's all your fault that there's not going to be any doctors or nurses in your generation.
I'll just not get sick. That's the new healthcare plan, right? It's just don't get sick. So we don't even need doctors anymore.
Well, I think we're going to start a GoFundMe instead. So to put these poor girls through college, because Davey selfishly cannot hand them a dollar bill. Bastard.
I think handing them isn't really what I'd be doing. I think it'd be more like cramming it into an uncomfortable crevice.
Maybe if you give them enough, they'll be handing you. You see how that works?
Oh, that's... Yeah. That's a thing that you just said.
I feel like every time that I make you two shut the fuck up by just pure, like, grossness, we all need to take a shot. So score one for me. But how was your birthday, man?
It was good. I turned 19, so I don't think the birthdays really matter anymore. You know, there's that famous Patton Oswalt bit where he's like, you only get, like, 20 birthdays and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's just another day. It's another day that exists. I went to go see a 35mm print of Mulholland Drive. But other than that, it was just the exact same day as every other day.
I have never seen Jennifer Connelly's tits in 35mm. How was that?
Wrong movie. Naomi Watts.
What? Mulholland Drive. She was in that.
No, she wasn't. Not even a little bit. Are you thinking of, like, Requiem for a Dream?
No, dude. I'm gonna figure this out. You keep talking. I'm gonna prove you wrong right fucking now.
Mulholland Drive 2001, written and directed by David Lynch, starring Lauren L. Harding, Naomi Watts, and Justin Theroux. Yeah, that's... Jennifer Connelly was not in that. Requiem for a Dream was a year before, and she had her tits out in that, but...
Well, to be fair, she has her tits out in a lot of things.
She does, and that should be commended. Good for her. But she was not in Mulholland Drive. I love that movie. I would know.
I'm sorry. I meant Mulholland... Mulholland Falls.
Ha!
Well,
a movie that I have never seen.
Every great critic has his day, and today is not my day.
It's okay.
Yeah. Well, what else have you seen besides that?
I saw a lot this week. I just got done with college, so I'm back in Tennessee, and I've just been watching a lot of things. I saw Snatched.
Yeah. Please, go on.
It was a movie.
You know what what's funny is I was listening to, I'm not going to name names, but other critics that are on this site that we share with, and they did not give it nearly as much shit as it deserves.
I mean, it's not terrible. It's not, like, groan-inducingly or painfully bad. It's just kind of dull.
Hmm.
I mean, I do, and I've said this before, I like Amy Schumer. I think Trainwreck is a really solid movie.
Sure.
And here it's just her and Goldie Hawn just kind of doing stuff. It didn't hurt to
but
watch.
But vagina, Davey. Vagina.
I know.
She said the word vagina and she's a woman. It's funny. You get it? You get it? She has a vagina.
Yeah.
No. And a vagina,
and again,
Davey.
Good for her, but it doesn't make for a compelling movie, even though a few of the jokes do work. There's no movie to connect any of these things. It's just a bunch of small sequences that barely have any thematic relevance.
So is it kind of like a road trip where they just go from set piece to set piece and none of it correlates?
Pretty much. There's kind of a through line where, like, they get kidnapped and they're trying to, like, go back to wherever they were, but it's really just a road trip movie.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you saying that it's not nearly as bad makes me say, I'm not gonna see it, but I won't give it blind shit. How about that?
Yeah, like, it's not worth seeing, but it's also not worth just being like, oh, I'll never see that. Like, if it's on cable and the remote's, like, really, really far away, maybe sit through, like, 30 minutes and be like, I'm just gonna go take a nap. Like,
that's
the best I can say. But that was nowhere near the worst comedy I saw this
week.
Which
was?
That's the third worst. The second worst comedy I saw this week was Fist Fight.
Oh,
with
okay.
Charlie Day and Ice Cube, which was actively unfunny.
See, that seems like one of those movies that should be starring Kevin Hart, because it's just that stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough to deal with. And the least funny movie, the least funny thing I saw this week, was Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul.
Aww.
Somewhere Hector is crying because you said that.
I know, and Hector would have done a good job. God bless him.
So what was wrong with it? I've never seen one of these movies, so I don't understand the hate that they get. It just seems like it's a dumb movie for kids. It seems like it's harmless. What's wrong with it?
Well, here's the thing. I grew up when these books first came out. Like, everyone that I knew read all of them at the beginning. Because they were easy, they had, like, some cool drawings, they were kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was really into them. And around the time the first movie came out, I was kind of getting out of that phase. And the first three movies, they're not the worst thing in the world. The first movie is kind of funny, the second movie is kind of funny, the third movie is not that great. This movie, because they replaced the entire cast.
Why? They're just too old now, or what?
They just got too old, and it just wouldn't work anymore. And I was trying to explain how I felt about this movie. I'm alive, obviously. You all know this.
You are?
Yes.
I am a robot. Robobot! Yes!
Robobot. God damn it, TJ.
Stop bringing back Superman. My weekly Supermansion reference.
No. Okay, but I'm alive. I've never been lulled to death by a stroke. But if someone asked me, do you know what it feels like to be lulled to death by a stroke, now I can say yes.
This is some harsh words, man, for some stupid kid movie.
But it's so devoid of any creativity or any care of any kind. I watched it with my friend last night, and every single big joke, I would lean to him a minute before it happens and say, this is the joke that they're setting up, this is what's going to happen.
Ooh.
And I would always get it right. Because it's a movie that it would have felt dated and boring in 1985.
How would you know? You weren't even a thought in 1985, Davey the Baby.
But I've seen the movies! I've seen the movies that have been out in that time. Movies are a time capsule, and I've been in that time through the movie, so I know
you've been in that
there.
Time capsule. Okay, okay.
I've been in that time capsule. Shut the fuck up. You're only a little bit older than me.
Well, I'm sorry that you had to numb your mind for that movie. You know what it reminded me of? I haven't seen any of these movies, but there was a movie that came out last year, something like Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life. Something
I
like
never
that.
Saw that.
But it seems like they were like almost the same exact movie, but I don't know.
It seems like it, and real quick, I also did see Alien Covenant.
Oh, okay. Yay or nay?
Kinda.
Okay. That wasn't one of the answers.
I know. And here's the thing. Up until like a week and a half ago, I had only seen Prometheus of the entire Alien franchise.
Oh, really? Prometheus is the only one I haven't seen.
Prometheus isn't that bad. I was like, it's kind of good. So I watched the original four Alien films before I saw Covenant. And Covenant is trying really hard to be both a Prometheus sequel and an Alien prequel.
Sure.
And whenever it does one of those things, it kind of works. Because I like Prometheus a lot. And obviously Alien's one of the best movies that's ever been made. So when it's trying to do one of those two things, it works pretty well. But anytime those two things cross over, the movie just has no idea what to do. It's not as much of a coherent story as it needs to be. And the moments of like horror and action are undercut by it so obviously trying to shoehorn its way back into the Alien franchise.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's a kinda. If you're a big Alien fan, it's worth watching because it's an Alien movie and it's better than, and it's not Alien Resurrection, so that's good, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the bulk of everything I've seen. What about you guys? What have y'all been up to?
I just recently watched Galaxy of the Guardians.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
What do you mean?
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
you're the kind of person that'll come up and be like, hey, can I have a ticket to Avengers? And we're like, Thor?
Dude,
yeah, that one. No.
When I used to work in the movie, not the movie theater, but the Hollywood Video when it was still a thing, people would like always come in and mispronounce movies, and I don't know why, I was just an asshole teenager, but I would always give them the movie they asked for, even though I knew they meant something else. So they would always come to be like, hey, what's that, do you have any more copies of the Legend? I'm like, yeah, sure. And Legend is a stupid, horrible action movie from the early 90s or 80s with Tom Cruise, and it's pretty bad.
Okay.
But they were looking for I Am Legend with Will Smith, and I didn't give a fuck, because you know what? Know what you're talking about. Back
so,
to you.
I am totally that person. I'm very forgetful with whatever I watch, and apparently this is a big deal to people just because it's the second one, but yes, I did see that, and I am that person, and I am very forgetful. So, it was cute. I never saw the first one.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about Marvel Studios. I'm going to be that one person, but...
No, Davey feels
the same
way, too.
I'm the exact same way.
Okay, I'm not the only person. There you go.
Yeah, no.
But, so that's why I kind of steered away from the first one, and I don't know. I liked it. It was very cute. I also get Chris Pratt and, what's the other Chris? The one that plays Kirk?
Chris Pine.
I always get both of them confused all the time. They're both, they look the same. They look like brothers to me, I think.
They have the same kind of charisma. I could give you that. But I've never seen Chris Pine do anything comedic, really. And Chris Pratt got his start in comedy.
Excuse you, this means war.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No one's ever thought about that movie since it came out. And now you have to remember that it exists.
That was a pretty bad one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I liked it for me not understanding really everything. It was cute. Yeah. I loved Baby Groot, of course, but, aside from that, I don't have much to say about it just because it's just, like, one of those movies. Oh, I hated, what's her freaking face? The Green Girl.
See, Gamora?
I hated her just because her makeup was pissing me off the whole entire time, because every take, like, it would change, and you could see, like, her actual skin color underneath, like, they didn't fix it, or it supposedly was supposed to be that way. I don't know, it was very annoying, but I just kept staring at her eyes the entire time, like, oh my god, they need to fix this,
she's fucking gorgeous.
No.
Green or not green, or half
she's
green,
awesome.
Or whatever, she's beautiful.
She has, like, the swords, she's like, she's killing people, like, that's awesome.
She plays the same character in
what
every movie.
What are you
movie.
Talking about?
I know, but this is the good
just not green. Just
character.
Not green.
What are you talking about? No,
sometimes
she's totally
she's
different
blue.
As
all the colors.
Aw, see, she doesn't discriminate at all. I think her character, when she plays Ahura, she's way different than she is when she plays Gamora. But whatever.
It's a little more similar than I would like.
And then she was in that movie, The Losers, and she was totally different in The Losers.
Oh, fuck that movie.
Well, it's not. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying she was different. She was like a competent, I don't know, killer or whatever.
I don't know. I'm just mad that you made me reminded me that the losers exist. Although I think that's good payback for This Means War.
Yeah. But you know what? Maybe she should try something different. Stop being like sci-fi bat action movies. Maybe she could be like, I don't know. She could be, you know, in the new like Sweet Home Alabama or something romantic.
I don't want to see that.
She just needs to stop. She's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with her. You're just mean. You're a mean girl. Woman. You're a mean woman. Is that it? That's all you've seen?
I'm a mean girl. Yeah, that's all I saw.
Oh, okay.
I don't do anything.
Yeah, you don't do anything.
Well, I don't do anything either, but I fill that time by watching movies. That's what you do.
I recently made a wonderful purchase that I'm so happy about. I was, like, 2 months ago, I was trying to find Daria on DVD because I just had a sudden urge to rewatch Daria. And I could not fucking find it at all. And then just the other day, I was walking through Best Buy trying to get something else. I was trying to get a cover for my iPad. And I saw it just out of the corner of my eye, and I've been rewatching Daria, and it's awesome.
Na, 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 na.
Yeah. You guys know about the Daria, right?
The Daria?
The Daria?
The Daria. The D? I got the Daria. I got the D.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Well, yeah, no. Real quick, tangent. Before we started recording, DJ and Leslie tried to make an argument that the reason that I do not have a girlfriend is because I've never seen Daria.
Daria is the way to a woman's panties.
It is.
Isn't the phrase a woman's heart, like, isn't that what we're supposed to be going for? Well, like, romance and companionship, or...
No, that's stupid.
Well, see, you see, that's why you gotta take a peek at the undercarriage. If she's got, like, hearts on the undies, then you're good to go, man. It's the best of both worlds.
But if there's skulls on there, then you know she's my kind of weird.
Yeah, if there's skulls on there, you marry that bitch. Now.
Exactly.
Well, besides Daria, I just watched today for the first time. I told you guys before, I'm always like 6 months behind because I never catch movies in the theater. But I just saw Lego Batman. Was okay. It's cute. I liked it enough. Like, I love Lego Movie. I'm a huge fan of Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Everything is awesome.
Right, everything is awesome that Chris... Oh, Jesus. Phil Lord and Chris Miller produce, write, direct. And with them just being producers on this one, it's just okay. It's got some of their humor in it, but it doesn't have their, I don't know, the je ne sais quoi. It doesn't hit the same, I guess. It doesn't have the heart, for the most part.
I agree, but I did find it really funny. And I will say, any kids movie that pulls a Serendipity reference out gets an immediate pass for whatever else they want to do.
That's what she should be in. The girl that plays Gamora, what's her name?
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana should be in the remake of Serendipity.
No, they should never remake Serendipity, because Serendipity is a beautiful movie that needs to be preserved.
Well, it is forever preserved in the Lego Batman movie.
I know. I unabashedly love Serendipity.
Really?
It's so cute and precious. And they have this love that transcends reality because it comes back to each other when they need it the most and they're happy.
I just love when David gets all excited.
Sounds like a lot like love to me.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I'm talking about, like, the movie A Lot Like Love. It sounds like the same thing.
The Gaspar Noé one?
I don't know who directed it. The one with Ashton Kutcher and Amanda Peet.
Oh, I have no idea what...
We're doing some deep cuts today, I feel like. We got some good balls rolling with some deep cuts. I like that. But that's all I've seen. Like, you know, like I said, Lego movies, like, it's okay. It's nothing like compared to the first one. It's not really a sequel either, but, you know, it's okay. It's cute. It's definitely funny. When Michael Cera is probably, like, the best part about it.
He's so cute in it.
real quick, speaking on that, have you guys seen the trailer for the Lego Ninjago movie?
No, I have not. Okay, is it in the same vein as it, or is it just, like, a legit cartoon?
You know, it's in the same vein. It's the same kind of thing. And, because I've seen the trailer a couple times, but I saw it again in front of Diary of a Wimpy Kid last night. And it's got one of my favorite trailer moments I think I've ever seen. Because the hero and the villain are, like, talking to each other in the beginning of the trailer. And the hero's like, well, just leave then, Dad. And the villain's like, what? What'd you say? And he's like, oh, I said just leave, and then I didn't say anything after that. And then he takes his helmet off and he goes, Dad. And then Taylor Swift's Bad Blood plays over the rest of the trailer at that moment. And just bringing it in that moment is so funny. And honestly, I love the way that these Lego movies have been going. Even if they don't have that much heart, they're always that funny.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that the first one had so much heart. And I feel like the Lego Batman movie tried to have some heart, but it just didn't hit the same, I guess. It was a little too contrived as opposed to the Lego movie, which was just a huge surprise and naturally fell into that heart. But
Lego movie also was responsible for, like, an existential crisis.
Totally, totally.
Which is super unexpected. And I don't think it can really be replicated.
Oh, no way. I'm kind of glad that they didn't even try with this new one, because it would have just felt lame in comparison, but and that was probably like my favorite Will Ferrell cameo ever. Well, I guess it's not a cameo because he did play the
president,
Mr. Business or whatever. Anyway, one last thing I am totally excited about, and you two suckers are going to have to sit with me on this. But I just found out that on a Netflix original is going to be shit. I had it in my mind. If it smells like Gelfling, must be Gelfling. What's that thing?
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Fuck. Someone out there is, like, screaming at me because I shouldn't know this. Dark Crystal. Oh, thank you. They're going to have a sequel or prequel or something Dark Crystal related Netflix streaming. I am so fucking excited. I love Dark Crystal. Do you guys know what that is?
I've never seen it.
Oh, man. That was, like, one of my... It was a Jim Henson production. It was, like, these Muppet things were trying to find a way to save their village from these, like, vulture-looking fucking things called the... Snarf Narfs or whatever. Anyway, I haven't seen it since I was a little kid, but I fucking loved it. And that was some legit Jim Henson puppeteering. It was fucking awesome. And Netflix is getting an original of it, so I'm really excited. I just saw the trailer for it the other day. It's not really a trailer, it's just more like an announcement.
Like an announcement?
Announcement that they're going to do it. So I am going to make you two people review it with me, because it is too freaking cool.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Other than that, we can get to today's thing. Oh, wait. Oh, we got a special surprise phone call coming in.
What?
With that Skype noise right now.
No.
I know you had something to say there, Davey, but...
We really gotta talk about this.
Nope. You are staying up past your bedtime, sir, because we are going to go...
TJ, I'm an adult. I don't have a bedtime. Hello?
Hello? Am I coming through?
Trace?
Yeah, it's Trace. What's up? Hey.
Trace, what are you doing, you magnificent bastard? You're interrupting the show.
I am. I'm so sorry to be interrupting the program, guys, but I just got done watching the second season of Master of None, and like I had to call you guys immediately to tell you about it. This was the first thing I did when I saw the credits pop up. I had to call in and tell you guys about it.
You're a little behind, man. That show came out weeks ago.
You're telling me, buddy, but I do what I can.
How was it, dude?
It is... absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic. That is high praise, sir. What, give me a little pitch, man. I saw, like, part of the first season, but I never, like, stuck along with it. It's pretty funny, but what's the second season about? Does it kind of steer away from the week-by-week, lesson of the week, or is it kind of still standalone each episode?
If you did not like the premise of the first season... in which it's kind of standalone episodes regarding different themes for each episode, I don't think the second season is going to do much for you, because it's a lot of the same, but I think the second season just takes it a lot further. There's been a serious upgrade in terms of visual style, story quality, and just taking what made the first season so great and making it even better in the second season.
Dang. So is it funnier also at the same time? Or
I didn't like Master of None the first season because it's funny. Although I do laugh at a lot of what happens in the show, I don't think the show is meant to necessarily be that hilarious, as much as it's more meant to be the sort of slice of life type episodic show that's exploring just everyday conversations and everyday situations. And to me, this season especially seems like Aziz Ansari and Alan Yang really just trying to have discussions with the audience about things that they've been thinking about and not really caring how it affects the overall narrative of the show, which could be detrimental for some people trying to enjoy the show, because this season especially, it seems, I've been describing it as, it's like an anthology show, almost intercut with episodes that have to do with an actual main storyline. But there are several episodes that don't really have consequences to the rest of the show, but that's not really the point. Mm-hmm. It just seems like Aziz Ansari and Alan Yang really have some stuff to say, and they're going about it through the narrative of this show, and I think it works really well.
That's so funny, because it seems like a totally different... Because I'm not like the biggest Aziz Ansari fan, but I've seen a lot of his stand-up, and it just seems totally different than his usual style of comedy. What do you think?
It's very different than that. He's still definitely just playing Aziz Ansari. He has, like, his character's name is Dev, but I refer to him as Aziz usually just because it's basically just him.
Right.
But he's just so toned down and seems more just like a goofy guy rather than a cartoon character in the show. He's not as annoyingly... He doesn't have his annoying shtick going on, really. He's just got goofs, really. Like, he's just trying to be funny to his friends in the show. And it works in his favor entirely. Though, in fact, I would say I get more laughs out of Eric Wareheim's character than I do Aziz's character.
Eric Wareheim is in this?
Yeah, he's in the first season and the second season.
Tim isn't in it, is he?
Who?
Tim.
Oh, Tim. No, Tim is not in it. It's just Eric.
Okay. But, I don't know, man. I was with you until you mentioned them. I'm a huge, a blatant, obvious not Tim and Eric fan. But if it's just the one of them, maybe I can handle it.
Well, but again, it's not... he's not doing, like, his Tim and Eric style of humor.
See, that's the problem, is that you said that style is humor.
yeah. There we go. I get it. But I will say, sometimes it does seem like he's acting for a completely different show. Sometimes his goofs just seem really, really wacky and kind of off the rails. But everything he says just makes me, like, gut... Like, he just makes me belly laugh, everything he says. He just has this straight face and this just kind of normal guy demeanor for these really weird things that come out of his mouth, and it just gets me every time. And him and Aziz's friendship in the show is, like, actually super genuine and heartfelt, and just, they're very loving towards one another. And I was very surprised just by how sweet their friendship is throughout the show.
Cool. I like I said, I only saw about half the first season, but what I really liked about it, and you can tell me if they expand on this or if they kind of throw it by the wayside, but it's just like they take a very basic topic and just point out the irony in it. Like, specifically, the one I saw was in the first season where Aziz and his Asian friend are trying to hang out with their parents because they feel bad, like they owe their parents something. And the parents are just, like, want to be left alone. And it kind of contrasts itself between how Aziz and his Asian friend just want to be left alone as they were teenagers. And then it contrasted to the parents now just want to be left alone because they don't want to be bothered. It was really funny. It's just something so you don't even think about, and pointing out all the different, the humor in it.
I'm not sure that it delves into, like, that specific type of irony, per se, but there's definitely instances of, like, little ironies of life throughout the show, but it does keep up with the theme of the disconnect between the new generation and their parents, specifically one episode about religion, in which, Aziz has to, basically comes out to, his parents that he eats pork, which is... Which is obviously against his parents' religion, and it's just like, what am I trying to say? I'm sorry. You might have to cut this little part out. Kind of losing my train of thought. Sorry. It's about just how adults and children kind of break away from each other,
uh-huh.
And how each party deals with that.
And yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that's definitely what I liked about the first season. Like I said, it takes one tiny conversation and explores it from all the different scenarios.
This season definitely keeps up with that. I was talking about how this one feels kind of like an anthology series. There's an episode called First Date, in which the whole episode is Aziz Ansari going on several different first dates with girls he's met on Tinder. But they're all edited together so that they flow with one another, basically. I can't really describe it. You have to watch it.
That sounds smart, because I see that going one of two ways. It either points out how, like, disheartening everyone's similarities are, because everyone is almost the same, or almost how similar we pretend to be on a date. Like, either Aziz is exactly the same in every single conversation, or the girls are exactly the same in every single conversation.
Yeah, actually, it gets kind of to the heart of that. It's really about, like, how a lot of these first dates, like, a lot of how, like, kind of this Tinder hookup culture that has happened, how these dates are all kind of, like, surface-level different, but ultimately end up the same. Save for, like, maybe one scenario where you find someone that you actually like.
Right.
And it's just a really smart episode.
That's cool, man. I like the sound of this so far.
I wanted to talk about one other episode. I believe it's episode 6. It's called New York, I Love You. And I could watch a whole series based off this episode alone. And what I mean by that is, Aziz Ansari and, like, the rest of the crew are barely in it. The main cast is hardly in this episode. The whole episode is following three different, just, like, regular New Yorkers going about their day. But it's people that don't necessarily ever get screen time in, like, mainstream media. So, like, specifically in the middle of the episode, it follows a deaf girl. And, like, her job at the convenience store and her troubles with her boyfriend. And just, like, how similar, and it's just, like, how normal her life is. And it just follows her life for the middle of the episode. And then it continues on to another person's life and what that person is getting up to for the day. And it's just, like, shows a deep appreciation just for the regular civilian living in New York City. Like, I think Aziz Ansari and Alan Yang show a really deep appreciation for their city and the people inside it. Specifically, like, they give a whole episode to the people inside it and just remove themselves entirely from it.
That's good. That's a brave move, just because it shows how obviously they are not, I can't think of the word, but letting fame get to them. I mean, you take a comedian and you give them their own show, and how many times have we seen, like, the Bill Ingvall show or the Jeff Foxworthy show? It's like they're so up their ass with their own bullshit that they gotta name the show after themselves, and it's basically just their stand-up routine, but in show format. This is totally different than Aziz Ansari's normal thing, and it, you know, he doesn't even play a character named Aziz. That's, you know, that's cool, and he gives his own show, a whole episode to just random people, just to give you a different point of view and make you feel like, hey, I used to be an average guy too. I like that.
Right. And, like, this is totally not like the Aziz Ansari show. Like, I get what you mean. This is way more about exploring life's simplicities and complexities and how we relate to one another, and also giving a voice to, like, marginalized people that don't normally get that kind of voice in television or movies. And it's weird because it seems like on the surface nothing special, but the fact that I realize that we don't usually get these stories told is what makes it so special and why I love it so much. Not only that, but I did want to also mention the opener to the season is entirely in black and white, and Aziz Ansari is speaking Italian for half of it.
Weird.
Yeah, it's actually like a giant homage to Bicycle Thieves, the Italian movie. And there's actually a ton of allusions to a lot of classic Italian cinema throughout the season. Like Bicycle Thieves, 8 and a Half. There are some others, but it's very strange how he's showing this really deep appreciation for Italian cinema throughout the entire series and how well it works. There's at one point where they're watching a movie in, I think it's the 9th episode, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but the plot of the episode essentially follows the movie, and at one point Aziz Ansari is watching the movie and then sees himself in the movie. And it gets really meta and weird, but it not, like, obnoxiously so. It's actually kind of charming.
It's a fine line between meta and, like, up-your-ass hipsterness.
Yeah, which, like, I could totally see people thinking that that's what's going on, especially with the opener episode being completely in black and white. But I don't know. I think it comes off as just, like, genuine to me. It seems like he really loves that era of filmmaking, which I didn't, like, really expect to come out of him from.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, he really, like, impressed me this time around. This season really got me. Not to mention the fact that the upgrade in camera quality, or just the upgrade in the cinematic visual of the show, just is astounding. I mentioned episode 9 previously, but there's like reoccurring wide shots throughout episode 9 that look fantastic. I don't know who they have behind the camera. I know Aziz directed some of the episodes, but I didn't realize he could handle a camera this well. The show just looks amazing.
Cool. That's awesome, man. So before we wrap it up, do you have any criticisms or anything? I mean, I hate to be the guy to harp on the negative, but do you have anything? Is this perfect or what?
I'm a little biased towards it because I have a thing for kind of the slice of life, just like everyday living type of show.
Sure.
But towards the end, there is this reoccurring romance subplot with Aziz Ansari and this girl he meets in Italy, which I guess you could say is the most phoned in. But even that for me, it's a little cliche, but it still feels heartfelt and real. And just the nuance between the romantic tension between the two and the circumstance that they're put in, I don't know, something about it for me just, like, really hit me pretty hard and actually gave me goosebumps in the last episode.
Well, that's cool. That's not a phone. If it gave you goosebumps, there's no way it's phoned in. And if you said it came in towards the end of the season, then they probably have more time to dwell on it next season, which is good.
Oh, yeah, they definitely leave it open for a season 3 regarding that romance. There was one thing I did want to mention, that there is a subplot regarding Aziz Ansari having a TV show with a chef played by Bobby Cannavale? Cannavale? I think that's how you pronounce his last name. But it's like the most uninteresting storyline I could think for the show to have. But even that one, in the last episode, ends up touching on subjects of, like, sexual abuse.
Ooh.
Which, yeah, and it gets actually, like, really dark and kind of plays it pretty serious. And, I don't. So, like, even the worst storylines in the show end up having relevance by the end.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's fucking smart as shit, man.
I think it's a very smart show, and I think people need to take notice of it. I'm not, like, it doesn't seem like Netflix is promoting it as hard as some of their other shows, and I don't think people really, you know, have been flocking to this one as much as, you know, something like 13 Reasons Why or whatever.
Ugh.
But, like, I think this is a super important show to be watching. It wears a lot of really great influences on its sleeve, and its heart is totally in the right place, and it's doing what it wants, and it's doing it very well.
Cool. So, if you had to give it an arbitrary rating, what would you give it?
Oh my goodness.
Well, go through your final thought too.
That basically was my final thought. Like, it's just like the show tackles everything from, like, race and religion to modern romance, but none of it comes off as, like, none of it comes off as phoned in, like I said. It's just all so very genuine, and it's clear that Aziz Ansari and Alan Yang have a ton of things to say about our modern living and how we go about our days. And I think they have room to say a lot more in a season 3. I'm feeling like a strong 4 to 4.5 out of 5.
Like, okay.
After I finished the season, I went and rewatched like 4 or 5 of the episodes just because I immediately felt like I needed to watch some of them again.
Wait. I thought you just said that you just got off the credits.
You caught me in my goof.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, thanks for calling in and let us know. I'll be sure to put that on the queue list.
Oh, yes, definitely do.
All right. Well, thanks, dude.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, take care, man. Bye.
Ah, cool. Thanks, Trace. All right, I think he hung up before I said goodbye, the fucking bastard. Anyway, that was Master of None, which I did not see. But, hey, actually, I did see season one, and it's cool. It had some funny moments, just maybe not my type of thing, I guess. I just couldn't, didn't like it, didn't love it. Anyway, so what are we reviewing today, Davey?
We are reviewing something called...
Blame.
Is it Blame? I thought it was pronounced Blam.
I thought it was pronounced Blam, too.
Blam?
I think it's pronounced Blam.
And it says Blam. Blame. It's spelled Blame. B-L-A-M-E. Blame. I'm calling it Blame! Exclamation point. That's what I'm calling it as.
Pretty sure it's Blam. I'm going to call it Blam.
Well, I'm going to call it Blam.
That doesn't make any fucking sense. Did either of you graduate high school?
Yes.
Or elementary education?
I'm in college.
Well, you are from Tennessee. I don't know.
Oh, fuck Blam. You. I'm from Middle Tennessee. That's the normal part.
The normal part.
Yeah, that's the normal part where, like, you can drive and you see, like, stores and civilization and people.
Yeah, but they're all selling I Love Trump bumper stickers, so.
I'm not gonna comment on that, on the things that I am ashamed about my state for. But it's called Blam, so
well,
fuck you.
What's it about? What's this Blam about?
I have no fucking idea.
Really?
I'm gonna be honest. I just watched this, like, 3 minutes before we started, like, recording. I kinda have an idea what this is about.
Well, Leslie, you're the anime
connoisseur. Leslie,
you are the anime go-to chick.
So, yeah. Basically what it is a Japanese anime that, has
based humans... off a manga. It is based off a manga.
It is. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, it is based off a manga. It actually has different races. So there's, like, your human world, and you also have these exterminators, which are basically, like, these little robot things who are kind of trying to take over the world.
It's kind of Terminator-esque.
Yeah.
Matrix, sort of.
Sort of-ish. Yeah. But basically, it's kind of... I'm going to bring in kind of... the Hunger Games kind of into it, because there's different little subsections, like, different little districts that they have to live in, so.
Huh.
But
if that's true, they didn't really delve into it in this annotation.
Kind of.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's more in the background.
Yeah.
Anyway, basically what these humans are trying to do is they're just trying to get back into the world where they're able to have a little bit more control versus what they originally had when the robots had taken over.
Right. Yeah. A classic story. They created the robot for their benefit. The robots took over, and now they're all living in hiding.
Right.
Right.
And then they're slowly running out of food and trying to figure out how they're going to survive with sending out hunters and other people to kind of defeat the robots while getting their needs. But they're slowly running out of people.
Yeah. Because they keep dying, because those monster things are fucking terrifying.
Yeah, yes. They are pretty fucking terrifying. And they're hard to kill, apparently.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a pretty decent run. I think that's one of I'm going to start off by saying I liked it, but I think that's probably one of the bigger things that stuck out to me is that it was just so kind of obvious. It's so much that we've seen before. Yeah. Like, it really... The world looks like Zion from The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
It looks like that. And the world behind that feels so much like Terminator in the way that Skynet became a thing and is now hunting people down. But as a manga, oh my god, it's beautiful. Like when you watch it in The Matrix, that kind of story, you know, it's all metal. It's kind of like, oh, okay, this is a different world, something you've never seen before. But in this anime version of it, holy shit, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, the animation all the way through is... stunning to look at. And mm-hmm. one more thing for plot synopsis sake. A plot synopsis? Fuck it. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. These survivors, they find this guy named Killy.
Kida. No, not Kida. That's another wrong anime,
that's
sorry.
Not until October. not until October, bro.
His name is Killy, which is hilarious. And... Killy basically has, like, this super gun, and he also has, like, super food, and he's like, I'm gonna take you to go try and fix everything. And so a lot of it is, it's the main character, Zulu?
Zura.
Zura.
Zuru.
Was she the main character? Because that was my next biggest thing, is, like, I couldn't tell any of these people apart personality-wise.
I only could know because I was trying so hard to pay attention so that I could talk about it.
I loved everybody, so
I mean, that's the thing. They're all likable. They're all fine. They're all good characters, but there's nothing distinguishing about any of them. Like aside from the fact that one or two of them really care about this other one.
Tay?
Yeah.
Like there was a guy that was, like, having a crush on Tay, and then the main character is Zuzu or whatever the hell her name.
Azura.
Whatever. Whatever her character was. She also was, like, BFFs with Tay. Like, besides the fact that they really cared about this chick, Tay, there wasn't much personality-wise. Like, you didn't have the mean guy or the guy that didn't want to go along with it or the funny comic relief.
In the beginning, they showed a little bit more of it, especially when they're, like, walking around.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, they all have these little, like, Tron Legacy masks on, so you can't see any of their faces. So
Right.
A really, because I was not crazy about this movie, I'm going to say that. First off, there was a lot of dissonance in trying to establish any of the characters as anything special aside from Zuru and Killy. Aside from those two characters, there wasn't really any character that I remembered unless they said their name a lot. Like they said Tay's name a bunch. I was like, oh, Tay, that's a character.
Right.
But I didn't get an emotional connection to really anybody.
Yeah, I feel that way too. But I still love the world. It's like they did so much effort to build this world, and I totally was into it. But it lacked in terms of like character development.
Yeah,
and it kind of fell on some old anime tropes. I mean, I'm not the biggest anime fan, but I've watched I've watched the shit out of a couple of them. I'll put it that way. But it fell into some anime tropes that I'm just not fond of, and that's mainly just the dark, mysterious characters who just talk real slow and give as little information as necessary. And that was the other main character. See, what was his name? See, I'm so bad with their names. The guy with the big gun.
Killy.
Yeah. Kira, yeah.
Killy.
Yeah. Also, every single time they said his name, it sounded a little too much like Kitty. And
I just kept thinking
about Monsters, Inc. like, oh, Kitty. And I could not keep a straight face anytime they said his name. It was like, oh, Kitty.
Yeah. Aww. They definitely needed more scenes of just the characters talking. Like, I know that for what it is, there's actually not a lot of action in it already, but it really did need some scenes where people just had some time to showcase their personality.
Yeah, and anytime they did have a chance where you could have a character moment, like, there are a lot of slower, more quote-unquote grounded moments in the movie, but those moments are so bland, and they're so intense, like, okay, here's the part of the story where we tell you things about the plot so that the action can make sense, and then let's go into the action. Every time it's not, like, an action film, oh, God, I could not pay attention to this movie at all.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man, because I actually did enjoy it besides that one thing. Aside from that one thing, I really did enjoy it. I really loved the world.
I didn't dislike this movie. I could not get into it as anything other than an action film because, again, like you guys said, the story is, we've seen it done so many times before, and we've seen it done better. And anytime it's not these action scenes with these really cool designs and really cool monsters, I just could not get into it at all.
I feel like you'd be better off if it was a video game because you'd be able to follow more with it, especially since the characters don't have an actual, personality to it.
It would be a great video game. Holy shit.
Yeah. I would play the fuck out of this.
Right?
Yeah, it should be a video game. Kind of like Sword Art Online, which, started as a manga and then became a video game, which appears pretty cool. So, I don't know. Yeah. I wish they had more monsters, though. They show, like, the main monsters a lot. The ones that look like spiders. And then they show these big ones that they keep just kind of avoiding, but they never actually do any damage. It would have been fun to see different variations of these monsters. But one thing I didn't care about is in this world, I totally got how they got to where they are. I got the backstory, but none of the characters seemed to be surprised about anything. So I didn't quite understand what was real in this world and what wasn't. Like, what was the limitations of shocking to these people? Because there's this one part in, like, late first act where they find this talking corpse, right?
Yeah.
And no one really seems to be surprised. I mean, they say that they're surprised. They're like, oh, is that thing talking? That's weird. But yeah. They don't see, it doesn't, they never really dwell on it. Like, it just seems like they very quickly swallow that this is reality. And I'm over here watching like, what the fuck? This corpse is talking. And then later on, something else happens with this corpse because where it no longer becomes a corpse. And no one seems to be surprised.
Yeah, there were a lot of moments where they didn't seem to properly set up the rules of this universe.
Right.
And yeah. Things would just kind of come out of nowhere in a way where I felt like it was trying to be surprising. But that comes into conflict because, without spoiling it, there are two characters that at certain points are not what they claim that they are, not what they appear to be.
Right.
And I called both of those the moment that it was set up, and I was just kind of waiting for the payoff to inevitably come.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say congratulations to you for guessing that, because it's pretty obvious. But
I mean, I'm not like patting myself on the back, being like, I'm so smart and perfect. I called this movie. Like, I'm a fucking idiot. I'm bad at this. I shouldn't be able to call this. Thanks.
Yeah. But I mean, overall, I really did like it. It's hard. I feel like it doesn't sound like I didn't like it because, you know, I feel like I gotta. You guys are my practice dummies, but I gotta work on being more positive about things because I write down. I very easily remember the things I don't like, but yeah. The things I do like are really good. Like I said, I love the animation. I did like the tension. Like I felt the tension in the world, but I didn't feel the tension within the characters.
Yeah, I felt like there was a little bit of disconnect when it came to like the actual writing standpoint because I felt like there were two different people telling one story. Like, at one point, there was, you know, one specific flashback, and then there was no other flashbacks between the rest of the movie except for the end.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like that just seems so weird, because usually if you're getting flashbacks, it's going to happen throughout the whole entire thing. Yeah. But even with that flashback, it didn't even seem like it was part of the original movie. I don't know, but I really did like the animation. It was so beautiful, and I was kind of saying, oh my god, this is something that Leslie's going to like. I'm so excited. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's just another anime to me. It's like, I don't know. It was fun to watch, totally. But, yeah. It's just, meh, there.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'm trying to think of stuff to say about it. Because it's kind of like, to be fair, it's not a lot to talk about, because it feels like the start of something. It feels like it's the beginning of a series. I don't think it should be. If it is, I feel like it should have been shorter, because for an hour and 45 minutes, not a lot really happens in it. And I feel like it could have been an hour long, and then every, you know, couple of months, or how often they want to do, they add to this story. I would like it a lot more, because the world they set up is so cool. Mm-hmm. And like Leslie was saying, I said they don't dwell too much into the different tiers of who lives where in the different villages, but they totally could. And, you know, there's not a lot of different monsters, but there totally could be, you know, and there's not a lot of different, like, weapons, but there totally could be. I think this is a perfect setup. It just needs some time to mature a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it'll age well. I think if they continue on with this and they dial it back some in terms of scope, like, it's, you know, instead of in the very first episode, let's call this an episode, they're trying to save the world. If they dial it back some and say, like, okay, this episode we're just trying to get food, or we're just trying to get here, or we're just trying to do this. If they dial it back some and focus more on the characters, I think this would probably be one of my up there mangas, just because it there's so much to go off of. And from what I can tell, I was reading a little bit on the source material, it apparently suffers from the same kind of problems, where it's just sort of vague and doesn't really delve into. And I think they can use this to take a chance to actually make it something better. You know, how often do you have something that's better than the original source material? Not very often. I feel like they could do that if they just take some chances.
Yeah. And I wish that they would take chances. I wish they had taken more chances with this, because, and it feels like I'm just kind of trashing on this the entire time. It's not a boring film. When it does have the action sequences, and there are quite a few action scenes in this movie, the action scenes are awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally. very clear that these people have talent. They know how to make something that is visually very, very pretty and is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to make something that will grab you and pull you in, and just on a basic instinctual level of, oh, this is something really cool, I want to get into it. But And I am not an anime person. The only animes that I've ever really watched are Akira and then the Studio Ghibli stuff. Like, I'm
Well, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm just really not that familiar with how a lot of this stuff gets made.
Yeah.
And the specific tropes that go along with it. But I wanted more. I wanted more of an attempt to tell something that kind of means a little more. Something like The Matrix that has all this cool action, but is also very much about something. Even the American Ghost in the Shell, which I talked about a little while ago and is terrible, it's trying to say something grander. It fails, but even if a movie that bad and that bland can try and say something, I feel like a movie like Blam, which clearly does have a lot more talent and care put into it, should also be trying to say something more than just, look at this cool action scene.
Mm-hmm. See, that's funny. I feel the same exact way about it, but on a totally other side. You say you wanted more, and you feel bad about that. I totally wanted more, and I feel good about that. Like, it leaves me wanting more in a good way. Like, I'm pumped up about it.
Okay, I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that. I'm kind of glad that I get to be, like, the negative one on this review, because usually I'm the one saying, like, no, this is amazing. You guys have to trust me on this.
Yeah, you're just an asshole. You're an angry asshole. Let's hear your rant of the week, you son of a bitch.
I'm trying not to be an angry guy. I'm trying real hard to work on the anger, but then shit like this comes along. I'm not even angry about this. I'm not angry about it at all. I didn't dislike this movie. It wasn't a bad experience, but it just, it's not an angry rant. It's a disillusioned rant, if you will, which doesn't really work because a disillusioned rant is just some guy going, yeah, I mean, whatever, nothing really matters. We're all going to die anyway, which is not good rant material, but yeah, that's basically my take on Blam. You guys have, what other final thoughts do you guys have? Because I know you both liked it more than I did.
There really isn't much to say about it, and that does make me feel sad about it, because talking about it, I was so excited to talk about this, but talking about it, you know,
nothing comes up
because it's
we
just,
haven't said already.
Right, it's just, it's sort of, you know, there should be more to it, and you can take that as you will. I took it as good, like, I really hope that they expand on this, and I might even check out the manga, even though I hear that it has suffered from some of the same problems, but
right.
That's basically it. So I guess I'm just going to go into my review, my final thoughts here. I really did like the animation and the world building. One thing I didn't get to bring up was that I noticed it was kind of quiet. Aside from the action scenes, nothing really, there's not really a heartbeat going on. It's really quiet. You hear some background noise in terms of like machinery and electricity sounds, but I really felt they could have gone further with that in terms of the score and made it sort of like a, you know, an electronic feel, and just kind of made like did some takes on like some scary scores, some horror movie scores, but with sort of like an electronic feel to that. I would have thought that was fun. I did like the story. I just didn't know the characters. I can't even say that I didn't care about them. I just didn't know any of them. They didn't bring anything to the table. And even the cool guy, the Killy, he's just dark and mysterious. He never actually says or does anything, you know. And it's kind of funny because I wonder why these characters even trust him, because he never says or does anything to make them think they should trust him.
Because he has a badass gun.
Right, he has a badass gun, which seemed kind of like he used a little bit too much, I guess, like, because, you know, you have all these cool action scenes, but then he kind of, like, wins every single time. It's kind of like when you play Dead or Alive or Mortal Kombat with someone that's really good and knows all the specials, and you're just like, well, fuck, why did I even play? you're just too good, dude. But, you know, it was cool. I really did enjoy it. So I'm going to give it, I just can't give it 7 because I feel like it's not quite there, but I did like it. So I'm going to have to settle with a 6.9, 6.9 all be backs. Even though, you know, they're kind of like Terminators.
All I can think of is the, you know, the Bill and Ted moment when they see their future selves and they're like, if you're the real Bill and Ted, what is our favorite number? 69, dude! That's all I can think of.
I am so proud of you for making that reference. You are Davy the Baby no more, sir. That was a kick-ass reference.
Dude, I was raised on Bill and Ted. We used to watch that as a family tradition every New Year because it was my mom's favorite movie.
Really? Your mom is a badass.
I know she is. She's going to hear this. Hi, Mom. You're awesome.
Hi. Hi, Davy's mom.
Leslie, what are your final thoughts on Blam?
Kind of similar to what TJ said. I loved the aesthetic of it. It was so beautiful. I loved the characters, just how they looked. I loved the little details that they went into with, like, the, their little...
Armor
and helmets and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can tell they've been through some shit. They were really battle-scorned.
Yeah, and I appreciated the fact that they took the time to add little details like that. And then even same thing, too, like, on, like, their gloves and stuff. You could just see, like, just different wounds, or not wounds, but, like, damage done with Shibu, the corpse that you had referred to. I loved the way that she looked. She looked so awesome, even when they, like, brought her back and everything like that. I think the aesthetic is what got me, and I think that's where I'm sitting with it. I wish there was a lot more to the movie, but because the aesthetic was so awesome, I'm going to give it... I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Why do all the dads in animes look like the dad from...
Death Note.
So
that is like a Japanese manga trope that the dad in all the stories are just grim and gruff, and they got a
he looks just
a like, Tom Selleck mustache.
Yeah, he just looks like the dad from Death Note. I can't get that over my head, but I did like it. I just wish it had more heart to it.
Yeah. And I do feel the same way. I wish it had more heart. I wish it had more of a thing that it's trying to say, because it's doing something that we've seen done so many times before, and frankly done so many times better. And that is just kind of disappointing. Although, again, the animation, as we've all said, is gorgeous. The action scenes are so much fun. But I kind of feel about this similar to how I feel about Alien Covenant. The action scenes and, like, the frightening sequences work really, really well. But when it's trying to have us care about the characters and care about the story, there's just not enough there for me to really sink my teeth into, and I just wish there was more. At the end of the day, I just wish that there was more things for me to talk about. So, because I cannot take parts of this movie seriously at all, I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 laser tag battles.
Laser tag is awesome.
Laser tag is awesome, but laser tag isn't, like, a cool, badass thing. Because the guy, Killy, he's got this... super gun that just fires, like, a mega laser.
Zoom, zoom, zoom!
And it just seems like the most intense game of laser tag ever, which takes all of the tension out of it.
I can see what you're saying. It's kind of like laser tag. When you play laser tag, there's always these little kids that run around and shoot you from small corners, and you're like, God damn it, those little bastards. Yeah.
I'm one of those bastards.
Yeah. But then, if you had this gun that just blew up the entire thing, it's like, well... I guess I don't want that either, so...
I mean, that you would technically win laser tag. You would also go to jail for murdering, like, a bunch of people.
If just... they're little kids, you know what? I'll go to jail for it.
God.
Going to jail to murder the kids, or would the kids be going to jail because they murdered you?
No, I murdered the kids. You can't... They can't top this. Okay, I've been working out. Okay.
If they have the super gun and you don't, the children will murder you.
So, side note, I know we already did our ratings and stuff, but I was just looking it up. I guess the director of this is Hiroyuki Sashita, and he doesn't have a lot of... That's just racist. That's just racist. I'm sorry that you have a nice American white name, you privileged bitch. Anyway, it's Hiroyuki Sashita, and he doesn't have a lot of directorial stuff under his belt, but it turns out he was the video game effects designer for Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy X, and Final Fantasy X-2.
Oh, shit, really?
And that's cool. Some good effects there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that he'd be so good at anime, especially the visual effects on an anime, which has a lot of after effects on it, like, especially, you know, they got a lot of, like, machine... fire going off and in the lasers. Background. Yeah, yeah.
Meep-ew!
Meep-ew!
Yeah, anyway, that was our review of Blam, or Blame, however you choose to say it. It depends if you're a pasty white girl like Leslie here, who calls it Blam because she didn't graduate elementary school.
Blam.
Or if you're
a pasty... The Wikipedia page says pronounced as Blam. Yeah. I looked it up.
Wikipedia isn't always right, sir, so Blam Wikipedia.
No.
Blame Wikipedia. That was just Blam mean, Davey. That was just mean. Anyway, thank you all for joining us yet again, and thank you for Trace for rudely interrupting with his Master of None Season 2.
Fucking asshole.
Seriously.
I could have waxed poetically for, like, 10 more minutes.
Waxed?
It would have been beautiful. It would have been like Hamlet, but nah, I got cut off.
Well, I don't want to hear any more about your waxing. Did you say wax? What does that even mean?
You wax poetic. It means, like, when you just, like, kind of sit there like an asshole and just say, like, poetic things that don't really mean anything. Like, like when I'm trying to impress somebody, I'll use, like, these metaphors and phrases. It's waxing poetic.
Okay, well, when I try to impress someone, I wax something that's not poetic. You know, I'm going for, like, the landing strip these days, but that's just me. Anyway.
That's a mental image I don't want.
You can check out me and Davey's writing works and editing works, I guess to an extent, on oneofus.net, the wonderful site that you all should subscribe to because it is geek chic, motherfucker. That is what we are bringing back. Davey, where they can find you aside from that?
They can find me on Twitter at Davey Peppers, DAVEY, and then Peppers, like the food or the thing with the in the pizza box. And basically, you can find everything else that I do there, and also random rantings that I have about the world.
Speaking of random rantings, I want to throw this in because I completely just remembered about it. Okay. But why did the dad, or Pops, or whatever his name was, kept calling everything Thing? The net gene thing, the gear thing. Like, he kept saying Thing at the end. I'm like, are you retarded? What's going on? I don't know if you guys catch that.
I didn't catch that at all.
He's old and is not hip with the technology.
Yeah, you damn kids and your intranet thing.
You kid thing. Like, I don't get it. Okay, sorry. You said thing and it reminded me of that. Carry on.
Well, where can they find you, Leslie?
They could find me doing nothing and not caring about the world. Just kidding. But you could also find me on Instagram. Look so pretty. LOOKSOPRETTY. I'm also opening up an Etsy shop because guess what? I'm a weirdo and I try sometimes. It's going to be called Postmortem Elegance. So hit me up on there if you want some weird stuff made by a weird person. Aside from that, I don't do anything else.
You can find me on Facebook. It's Mr. Mr.Hooker711. That's Mr. Hooker711. You can add me on Twitter. If anyone adds me, I'll be sure to actually use
Twitter account?
Yeah, I do, but I just don't ever use it because
he does this every single week. He's like, I have a Twitter, but I don't tweet, so it's just nulling the endorsement of
it. I guess I've never paid attention.
Well, that's the thing. It's like no one follows me on it, so I don't ever feel anything need to post. And anytime I post one of my rants on Facebook, I lose like 3 friends. So I thought, okay, I'll do it on Twitter and see if it gains me followers instead of losing followers. And by then I just gotten tired of ranting online.
Those people aren't your real friends.
I don't know. Maybe I just don't have any real friends then. But anyway, I will gladly rant online if you all ask me to. It is TJ Calls Bullshit. That's at TJ Calls Bullshit. You can, again, find us at oneofus.net and feel free to subscribe. Thank you all for joining us. I don't know what we're reviewing next week, but we will review something. We will be back. Yak again. I am TJ.
I'm Leslie.
And I'm Davey. Thank you so much for listening.
You.
Ha.
Blam. Blam. Blam.
Blam.
Blam. Blam.
Pew pew. Pew pew.
All right.